Shalom Rav Ose, today's daf is Shabbos, daf Kuf Mem Gimel. We have the schos of finishing Perek Notel in the middle of today's daf. We are on Kuf Mem Beis Amud Beis by the two dots here, Moshe Al Hakar. We said in the Mishnah that if there's money on a pillow, so again you can shake the money off. And Rav Oshi says, Shalach Arnechi B'Chotzer. Similarly, if you forget your wallet in the chatzer, so maniach ala kikar otino kumataltala. You can put something on top of it, something that's not mutzah, and then you can move it with the item on top of it. So that's one way that you're allowed to move a mutzah item by putting something that is not mutzah on top of it and using it to move the non-mutzah item. Amar Rav Yitzchak, again, not necessarily halacha l'maisa, don't take straight up halacha from this, right? It's definitely important to study all the Tanaim, but this is where it comes from in the Gemara. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak said, Shachach levena b'chatzer, similarly, if you forget a brick, so miniach l'akika rotino k'metautol, you can put something on top of it, you can carry it, and again, this is similar to the pillow of the money case, because again, it's a way that you can carry something that otherwise would be mukta. Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Shila, Amar Rabbi Asi, Pamacha Shachu Diskia Melea Maos Pesartia. Once I forgot a bag full of money in on a street, on a main thoroughfare. So Boru Vasholas Rabbi Yochanan, I asked Rabbi Yochanan what to do. Amar Lahan Anichu Alea Kikar Otina Vitaltala. He said he gave them this advice, and that's what we did. We put something on top of it. And we moved it. Amar Mar Zitra Hilchazar Kechol Honey Shmeitza Vishocheach. So the halacha is by all of these, right, these suggestions that we just said, that's only if you forget it, right? But if you put it there on purpose, then that's not mutter. Ravashi Amar Afilu Shachach Namilo. Right? Ravashi says no. Even if you forgot it, you're not allowed to do it. Velo Amru Kikar Utinok El Lames Bilvad. Ravashi disagrees and says the only dispensation for putting Kikar or Tinak on something for you to therefore move the item is by a mace, because we have an added aspect of Kavod HaBrios. But to move Mukta in this, any Mukta item in this fashion, according to Ravashi, is Osir. Abai Manach Kafa Akefi. Abai put a spoon on top of grain. Rava Manach Sakina Abar Yona Umtatala. And Rava put a spoon or a knife on top of a yona, not an actual live bird, but a dead bird, raw bird meat, and it moved it. And again, Abai put it on grain, we're talking about, Rashi says, omarim, which are sheaths, meaning even though they're not really, they're animal, some of them are not able to be moved, we'll see in a second exactly what's going on, but Mustama they're mukta, because you can't write it, people can't eat the sheaths. Mustama is not animal food either. But either way, so Abai and Rava put the spoon or a knife on top of the items they wanted to carry, the sheaths or the raw meat, and they moved it. And Amar Yosef, Kama Harifa, Shmaitzit Dardiki. How frum, how harif is the learning of these young Talmid Chachamim? Meaning he's being sarcastic, right? Meaning like, what do you think you're doing? But the Chachila mi Amar. Right, Chazal only said if you can do this if you forget it, but to do it straight up to be mevatel a davar that's muktzah, right? So you can't do that. So Rabbi said to them, they had a good reason, and this is why they're gadolin. There was why the Bai and Rava they had a response. He said, "Ilav to Adam Chashavana Kafa Akiv Milamali." Right, Achazu lemigza alayu. Rabbi said, "What do you mean? The only reason I put a spoon on top of it because I'm an Adam Gadol, and people are going to look at me and take an example from me, and they're going to think that things that are muktzah can be moved. But really, this item is not muktzah at all, because you can take the sheaths and lie down on them. So they're not muktzah whatsoever. So basically, right, so I did it as an added din, just to, so people wouldn't see me and think that sometimes you can move this stuff. But the ma'isa, this grain here, in present form, while it's still on the stalks, can be used to be lying down, and therefore it's not mukta at all. Now, my Rav said the same thing. Ana ilav adam chashavana sakina abar yona lamali. Right? I didn't even need to put the knife on top of the bird meat. Achazili laumtza. You could have eaten it. Right? I could eat the food. Right? Apparently, again, people do eat raw meat sometimes. Apparently, Rav was one of those people. So the Maisa, he didn't need to put the knife on it at all. Right? So therefore, They were just being extra machmir. The time of the chazi l'umtza halochazi l'umtza lo. So Gemara darshens out. Okay, that's only if it's if it's fit to be eaten, meaning it's raw meat. People eat raw meat sometimes, but if it's not fit to be eaten, then it would be a mutza. So I remember the Rav of Rabbi Yehuda really. That seems to imply that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda again, who applies right a very broad application of mukta across the board. That there's a lot of mukta items as opposed to Rabbi Shimon. But Rav said to his servant, "Tavili bar avza, go get a goose for me, roast a goose for me. Vashadi maya the shimon, and then throw the innards, the maya, the intestines to the cat." Right, and that's right. How does that work? Right, that's meaning that seems to be that Rav is saying that that stuff is mutter. Meaning the intestines, right, mastama would be mukta, right? And the maisa, So how does that work? If you read Rashi, so alma metalta lumishum shimra. Right. Meaning, so basically, when the goose is in existence, we're talking about Yom Tov, first of all, it's a case of Yom Tov. So you can roast the goose right on Yom Tov. But the entire goose was fit for Michael Adam. Now, after you roast it, you take out the intestines, it's only fit for Michael Behema. So, but if you can move it, right, that seems to be you're not holding of Nolad. Right? You change the status of the intestines by shechting it and roasting the rest of it. And I guess yanking it out of the body. So now it goes from being Michael Adam to Michael Behema. That's a concept of Nolad. We see that Rava wasn't concerned about that. So apparently Rava holding Rabbi Shimon, who has a less inclusive definition of Mukta. We've mentioned before that Rabbi Shimon does not have Nolad. If you hold the Mukta, then you have Nolad. If you don't hold the Mukta, then you don't have Nolad. So he seems to be like Rabbi Shimon. How could you tell me that Rava holds like Rabbi Yehuda? Since if you just leave them out, right, they would go bad. So it's as if you have kavana that once you shecht it, right, you're going to use the intestines as animal food. So then it hasn't changed status at all. It's been animal food the entire time because that was your intention on Erev Yom Tov. So that works out fine, and then Rava can still hold like Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara says, "Ach, and I'm a mistabra, the Rava Rabbi Yehuda's really right," and it makes sense. This is Rava's shita; he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. The Darash Rava, Isha lo tikanes the beis ha'itzim litol mehen ud. A woman should not go into the woodshed. Again, back in the day, you would have a place where you would store your firewood, so she shouldn't go into the firewood to get an ud. An ud is a stick or a poker. Rashi says, "Stam eisim la'tzaka." Right? It's a piece of wood, but you're going to use it. An ud is like to stoke the coals or to kind of use in a fireplace. So a woman shouldn't go into the tool shed to take a piece of wood. Ud shenishpar asra lazika b'yantef, and an ud, this kli, this fire poker thing, made out of wood that broke, you're not allowed to use it as firewood on yantef. Lafisha masikim b'kelim b'masikim b'shiver kelim, because you're only allowed to use firewood with kelim, with something that's that and not broken kelim, because when the kelim break. Right, that's a concept of Nolad. Right, so you see that Rava was concerned about Nolad. Right, and he holds that Nolad is a problem. Right, when a kli breaks, right, it goes from the status of a kli to the status of not a kli or only being used for firewood. That's a concept of Nolad. So apparently Rava was concerned. Said that a woman shouldn't go and get one of these items. So Shmaminov, we see here that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that he holds of Mukta. Beishame Omer in the new Mishnah. Beishame say Ma'avir Me'al Shulchan Atzmos Uklipin. You can take off the table bones and shells. They are not mukta, right? She says, be a dime. You can use it with your hands. Right? According to understanding right now, we're going to, spoiler alert, we're going to actually switch the shitas. But according to this understanding, Beishamai does not hold a very broad definition of mukta. You hold like Rabbi Shimon. Beisel Omrim, Misalik is a tabla kulo minara. You can take the entire table or whatever you're using to put the food on and kind of shake it off. And that way, because the items are mukta, but you can kind of shake it off. Again, yesh toras kli aleha, right? Avalo yital tal klipin beyadayim kerbi huda, right? That's Rashi explains. Right? The table itself has a kli, and the stomach, it's not like a busis dabra asur, because you have other items on the table. But you're allowed to kind of shake them off, right? Because the actual shells and bones are mukta. You're allowed to take off pieces of bread that are less than a kezayis. Again, because they're, you know, for Michael Behema, Ushar Shel Afonim, and what is this? Sorry, right? Okay, this is like peas in a pod, or the pods, really, not the peas in the pod, but the pods. Ushar Shel Afonim Ushar Adashim, and so the same thing with different types of beans. Michael Behema, because they're able to be fed to the animals. But all, meaning all of that, that applies to all of them, and even the little crumbs that, right, that you can feed them to your animals so they're not mukza. A spug, a sponge, mishlo or base achiza, if it has a leather handle, so then mekanachim bo, you can use it to clean off items, and you can use it to clean up. Rashi says, kish achso nischa b'natzbo, right, so the next one really explains why, because we're concerned if you have to grab the entire sponge in your hand, right, so then you'll come to squeeze it out. But if it has a handle, so then you're not going to press as hard, and you're not going to do schita, you're not going to squeeze it out. Vim lav, right, again, if you don't have this handle, so then in mekanachim, you can't use it to clean anything off, because we're afraid you'll squeeze out the liquid, and that's dosh, that is schita. Benkach, benkach, either way, nital b'shavis, eino mekabal tuma, it can be taken on Shabbos, it's not mekabal tuma. Rashi said, because it's not considered a kli eitz, it's not a beged, a sak, or a matachas, it's not a makabel tumah whatsoever. Mistama is not mukza. Right, again, mistama, if it doesn't have a handle, then you can't move it, but either if it has a handle or if it's dry, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. That's what it's talking about. Nital b'Shabbos. Yeah, okay, fine. Well, though I would imagine it's a klisha machtel iser. What's binkach or binkach nital b'shabbos over here? It must be some. It must be a kli. It must be a toros kli, and therefore it's not. It's not right. You can, again, yeah, okay. It must not be a klisha machtel iser, because if you have a dry, if the sponge is dry, for example, right. The only problem, as we said before, is if it's wet. But if it's dry, so you can use a sponge. To, I don't know, to clean off crumbs or whatever it is. It definitely has some sort of use. Okay, fine. That must be the chat. Vayter. Amar Rav Nachman, Anu Ein Lanu Ela Beishamei K'Rabbi Yehuda V'Reishil K'Rabbi Shimon. Rav Nachman says, switch the shitas in the Mishnah. Really, Rabbi Yehuda is the shita of Beishamei, and they're Machmir, and Reishil is the Mekilim. Right? It makes more sense, because that's usually how it shakes out. And they hold like Rabbi Shimon. Ma'avrin Mifnei Shulchan Pirurin. You can take off these crumbs, less than a kazayis. And this proves Rabbi Yochanan Shita, Dam Rabbi Yochanan, Pirun, Shemayim, Kazais, Asr La Abden, Biyad. According to Rabbi Yochanan, so Pirun, that are less than Kazais, you're not allowed to La Abden, to destroy them with your hand, but you have to, they're considered to be Ochel. And Rashi says, Ma'avir Biyadayim Velozariglu, right? From the fashion, the Mishnah says you can clean them off with your hands, so that proves that they're still considered food. Right, and you know, you have to make sure that that you treat them with the proper kavod. Fine, that's again, that's a Tosos, that's a Rashi, right? Tosos does not like this. If you look at Tosos, the Rascal Pirurin, right, Perish Bekuntris, right, Midikdani Mavirin, Lokatani Zorkin, right, the fact that it says Mavirin, you can remove the crumbs and not just throw out the crumbs, so it must be that what Rabbi Yochanan says, that a piece of crumbs that are less than a kazayis, you can't just throw them out, right? They're actually still considered to be food, and then Tosos does not like that at all. Ayin Shem, Kasha the Rebbe, Dibereisha, Nami Katani Magbiyam Yal Shulchan, Atzamus Pulibin, Vokatani Zorkin, right? The beginning, the Mishnah, first of all, doesn't use the Lashon of Zorkin, right? Even though you are allowed to throw them out, right? It's certainly allowed to throw them out, right? So when you're talking about stone, bones, and shells, you can certainly throw those out, they have no purpose, but the Mishnah doesn't use the language of Zorkin. Right, okay. Okay. Shar sel shel ofanim, so money, who is this that says that you're allowed to what's it called, to take off these pea pods and the other adushin pods, because you can feed them to animals, so money, Rabbi Shimon, the less than muksa. That's Rabbi Shimon Shita, that does not hold of a broad application of muksa. But what, one second, Ema Seifa, what about the end of the Mishnah? So, svug, shel, im, da, svug, a sponge, im yeshlo, base, achiza, mekanachin bo, im lav, im mekanachin bo, right, that's on the Rabbi Yehuda, right, that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita, who has, there is, The Dalmar, Dabar Shein HaMiskaven, is Aser. Right? Again, you're not trying to do Shechita, but it's a Dabar Shein HaMiskaven, right? When you do Shechita, so therefore you can't use a sponge if it doesn't have a handle. So that's Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. So how did you go from Rabbi Shimon to Rabbi Yehuda? So Gemara says, B'ha'afil Rabbi Shimon Moda, V'rava Damar Tevahu, Moda Rabbi Shimon, B'sikresha V'lo Yamos. Because Rabbi Shimon agrees that if it's definitely going to happen, right, if you have a sponge that is filled with water and liquid, if you're using it to wipe down, a table, a chair, some sort of dish, it's a secretion, it's for sure going to squeeze out, and therefore even Rabbi Shimon would agree that it's also, and it's not necessarily Rabbi Yehuda Shita, it's Rabbi Shimon would agree. Hani Garinen de Tamri, if you have pits of Tamri, of dates, sorry, Tamri Aramisa, Aramean dates, Rashi explains they're bad dates, and you would actually give those to animals to eat. Sharu l'taltalinu, you're allowed to take these pits on Shabbos, hold the chazion agav iman, because they are already fit for use because of their mothers, i.e. because of the dates, because the dates are already set aside as animal feed. So if the dates are animal feed, certainly the pits are animal feed as well. So when the pits are left, you can throw that to the animal. That's not muktzah, because it's still in the same status as it originally was. But de parsayu, if you have Persian dates, those are good dates, those are people food, so then also, that's also for you to do that, because again, people are eating them, and then when the pit is left, now you're left with animal food, so it's an issue of no lad, right? It's changing the status of the pit. Shmuel amataltaluhu agav rifta. Shmuel would carry it on bread. You put it on bread and then get rid of it. Shmuel atameid amar Shmuel ozer adam kol tzorcho bepas. Shmuel says you can do whatever you want with bread. That's Shmuel's shita, that you can carry it that way. Rabba metaltalu agav lekana demaya. Rabba would do the same thing, get rid of these pits in a bucket of water. Rabuna braid Rabbi Yeshua avadu the kigraf shalrei, and Rabuna would make it into a graf shalrei, like into a garbage that you have to get out that stinks. So Rav Ashi lamei marvachi osim graf shalrei lechachila. Can you actually do that? Can you turn it into a graf shalrei? So one thing, if the garbage smells, you're allowed to take it out. But who says you're allowed to turn it into something that smells so you can take it out? So Rav Sheshe Zargu, I mean, some of that was inappropriate. Rav Sheshe Zargu Belishne, Rav Sheshe would throw it with his tongue, meaning he would spit it out, like he spit out a piece of gum. He would spit out instead of carrying and handling these pits. Rav Papa Zark Luhu Achori Hamita, and Rav Papa would throw it behind the bed, not the bed he was sleeping on, but the bed he was eating on. They used to eat on beds. So he would just kind of like throw it over his shoulder, right, for good luck, I guess. So he would just chuck it and leave it on the ground, I guess, and the servants would clean it up afterwards, right after Shabbos, I guess. Amro Lava, Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulos, Shayam Machzir Pana Vachor Yamita Uzorkan. And same thing, he would turn, Rabbi Zechariah would turn behind himself, like kind of spit, like you're eating sunflower seeds, and just spit them on the ground, and that would be the end of those pits. Hadralach Notel Adam Espino, and now we start the parak of Chavis. To start off the parak Chavis, we have a bunch of random halachos kind of compiled here in the Mishnah. Chavis she nishbara. So if you have a barrel of wine that is broken on Shabbos, and you're going to lose the wine, so matzilin himen amazon shalosh sudos. You're allowed to take out enough for three meals. Again, we've seen this before. We were concerned that if you're allowed to take more than the barrel, so you'd start either carrying, you'd either carry different kelim through the shusharavim or whatever to save the wine, or you may come to fix the barrel. We've mentioned this this kind of concept before. But you can also tell other people, come, save for yourself some wine. You can bring your kelim and you can do that. But as long as you don't use a sponge and clean up any wine that has, excuse me, spilled on the floor, because you're going to end up with an issue of schita. And once we're talking about schita, in sochten es aperes lotei me'en mashkin, you're not allowed to squeeze fruit to bring out the juice. V'im yatsu me'as men asurin, and even if they fell out on their own, so that is also for you to use. It's a Gemara in the beginning of Beitza talks about that. It's a gzera of mashkin shezavu. We're concerned that if you use juice that is squeezed out by itself, so you may come to actually squeeze the fruit and get out more juice. If you set aside this fruit for eating, so then you are allowed to do that, because it's all just considered food, fill the mashkin, hayo to your head, also. Sorry, it's a bit late here. And if you, but if the fruit were, let's say you had a bunch of oranges or whatever, set aside for squeezing, so then it is usur again. We don't want you to squeeze the fruit out. Right, and Rashi over here points out that you're happy that when the fruit squeezes out, right, in the stomach you have a bunch of oranges, let's say, in a basket, and if one starts squeezing out, so you're happy to pool and collect the liquid. And he says the language of niskaime machshavoso, because that's what you wanted to happen. Right? In that case, we're concerned that maybe you will come to squeeze out some more. Chalo dvash, that is honeycomb, that's not some yummy challah that you have honey all over the place, right? I think Mafei Neman here in Eretz Yisrael does that. Before Erev Shabbos, they make this amazing challah that they drizzle honey over. That's not what this is. This is honeycomb. Sheriska me'Erev Shabbos. If you have squeezed them out, or I guess really more accurately, risek is like to pound them or chop them up. So if you've done that on Erev Shabbos, if you have me'atzman and the honey squeezes out on its own, it is asurin. You're not allowed to use it on Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer, Mati, Rabbi Eliezer. I think the Bach changes it to Rabbi Elazar, but either way, Rabbi Elazar is Mati. Okay. Fine. And again, the sheet of Rabbi Elazar just simply is that you're not going to come to squeeze out a honeycomb, so there's no concern here. The Chazal, Rashi says over here, the Chazal were concerned that if we're going to allow you to use honey that's squeezed out of a honeycomb, so you may come to, take unchopped honeycombs and start chopping it up and getting the honey from there, and that is an issue. Okay. Says the Gemara. We're just going to do like halfway down the daf, because it is a whole long discussion, and as you can see, tomorrow's daf is not as long. Tana London of Brisa. Lo yisbog b'yayin. You shouldn't use a sponge to clean up wine that's spilled. Lo yitapach b'shemen. This is, you shouldn't kind of, Rashi says, machnis bo kapo v'shemen nidbak bo. Shouldn't almost use your hand to clean up oil. And he says, for whatever reason, use your hand to clean up oil. Shlo yas kederach shos v'chol, because that's an issue of uvda d'chol. Okay. Tan Rabbanan is pasrulo peros bechotzer. Right, if fruit spilled in your chotzer, malaket al yad ve'ochel, you can take some and eat it. Avolo l'toch hasal, you can't pick it up and put it in a basket. Avolo l'toch hakupa, okay, you can't put it in a bigger basket. Shelo yasek kederach shu osu v'chol, again an issue of uvda d'chol. There's no Rashi here, but I think the pshat is that when you malaket al yad v'ochel, so that would qualify it as borer, that's mutter. Right? When you do borer, one of the three things that's mutter for borer is when you're taking something, you have to take the good from the bad, you have to do it biyad, you have to use your hand, and it has to be miyad, it needs to be for immediate use. So that's what you're doing here. You're taking the food from, let's say, again, it's spilled out into the chutzar, so there's dirt and rocks or whatever, so you're taking the fruit, you're taking it with your hand, and you're eating it, and that's miyad, biyad, and ochel mitoch psolas. Right, there are other pshatim, I think, in the Gemara over here, but I think that's the most, the easiest to understand. Ein sochen es aperos, what are you not allowed to squeeze out fruit? Ah, Rabbi Yehuda, mashmua, modahai, Rabbi Yehuda, chachamim, bezeisim, v'anav. Rabbi Yehuda, who says that it's mutter to squeeze the fruit if it's, or I guess use the fruit that's squeezed out if it's, the fruit is set aside for eating. Rabbi Yehuda is modin chachamim that if it's olives and grapes, then it's going to be usur. Because my time I take kevin de l'schita nenu yoyev date. Since obviously, what's the point of olives and grapes? So the best form of olives and grapes is to squeeze them out for the juice. So therefore, right, we're going to be concerned. If that day you might change your mind and then use them for once you see the juice coming out. So we're concerned that you may come to squeeze some more. Okay. Rav Ula says the name of Rav. Cholakar Rabbi Yehuda afpazesim ba'anavim. Actually, Rabbi Yehuda still disagrees by olives and grapes. Rabbi Yochanan Amar halach Rabbi Yehuda b'shar peros v'ein halach Rabbi Yehuda b'zeis v'anavim. And Rabbi Yochanan says the halach is like Rabbi Yehuda by the other fruit, but the halach is not like Rabbi Yehuda by olives and grapes. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, Moda Hayyar Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim Bezeisim Van Olivim. Lumodim Chachamim Rabbi Yehuda B'Shar Peros. We have all different types of shittas all over the place. The last one is that Rabbi Yehuda would be Moda Chachamim by olives and grapes, and the Chachamim are Moda Rabbi Yehuda by the rest of the fruit. So Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Abba, a little bit my pligi. Well, according to that, what's the machlokes? If one agrees, I agree to your halacha by this, or you agree to my halacha by this, so what's the argument? What's the argument? So Amalei Lechitishkach, he said to him, you go figure it out. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Mistava Betutim Verimonim Pligi. And the machlokes is actually by strawberries and pomegranates. Right, as we'll see in a second. As Rashi says, Dika de Bolu Lamashkin. Because some of them are used for squeezing. Hilkach Mashavi Lulu Rabbanim Kizei Sivan Ovim. Right, so the Chachamim therefore hold that they're like olives and grapes, which are always squeezed. And Rabbi Yehuda Polagalayo, right, and Rabbi Yehuda argues, then says that they're like sharperos, but like other fruit that go back and forth. And then you have two options. Right, Mistama, to include in this would be, I guess, oranges and the like, which is, you know, that's probably the modern day equivalent, which, you know, you definitely have some that are eaten and some that are squeezed. Okay, fine. But let's say fruit like, a date. I guess date, you make date honeys. Date honey. I'm trying to think of a good example of a fruit you don't really squeeze out for its juice. Tutim here, agav, doesn't necessarily mean strawberries. Strawberries don't really grow in Eretz Yisrael so much. It could be a different fruit. Either way, okay, we'll use the modern translation. But either way, the machlokas, according to Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim, is tutim and rimonim. The Tanya, like we learned in the Braisa, zesim shemashach man shemen banavim, a shemen, right, if you have olives that had oil drip out of them, banavim shemashach man yayin, and if you have grapes that wine drips out of them, vechnisan, bein l'ocha bein l'mashkin, and whether they're for eating or for squeezing, hayotim ham aser, anything that squeezes comes out of this fruit is aser. Tutim shemashach ben mayim v'rimonim shemashach ben yayin. If you have any grapes or pomegranates that not grapes, if you have any more strawberries or pomegranates that had liquid come out of them, v'chnisim la'ochlin, if they're for eating, so then hayotzei mehem mutter, then whatever came out of them is mutter. L'mashkin, but if it's for squeezing, so then ulistam, and for no reason, meaning you just had the fruit lying around, you didn't designate it for anything, so then hayotzei mehem aser. That's it's also divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda's shita. But the Chachamim say bein la'ochlin, bein la'mashkin, hayotzei mehem aser. Regardless, this tutim and rimonim, regardless of what you have them for, whatever comes out of them is going to be aser. Okay, so at this point in the Gemara, that's the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim by tutim and rimonim. And that's the only case where they will differentiate whether the fruit was for squeezing or for eating. Okay, shkoyach gadol, Rabosai, we'll stop here. And we will go fighter in the Halakha Shas tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to.